Let us unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let us seek the face of God. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we come again into your presence, and we thank thee, O God, for the blood of thy dear Son. It brings us nigh to thine eternal throne, and we pray, O God, that thou would bless us tonight, even as we gather ourselves around the scriptures of truth again. Close us in with thyself, and bless the word to every heart, and minister to every soul. May Christ be exalted, and God's great name glorified, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me welcome you to this evening service from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. You are most welcome, and I trust that God will bless his word again tonight to every heart. Do you remember, as I announced this morning, Wednesday night at 8 p.m., the Bible study again for this week. Do remember, tune into that, and we trust that that will be a great blessing to every heart. As I also said this morning, these meetings go out on Facebook and they also go out on YouTube. So please tune in, tell your friends and your loved ones and your families about the meetings, and we trust that God will use his word, as he has promised to do, to bless his people, to save the lost, and to build his church, even in these days. Let me thank your interim moderator, the Reverend Curran, very much indeed, for having me along to do these services in Londonderry. It is a great privilege and a great joy. It's always an honour to open the Bible. It's always a great honour to be able to say a word for Jesus Christ. And therefore, I thank the Reverend Curran very much indeed for this opportunity to do just that today. Let us read some verses at this point from the Word of God in the Old Testament Scriptures, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, let me encourage you as you sit in your home just to take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, and we will read from verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 1, reading together, please, from verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been the Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offering of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Amen. We will end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. It really is the words in verse number 18 that we will look at for most of the message. However, we'll look at the rest of the chapter. But verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If our Bible's opened before us, let me just encourage you, let's just take a moment and still our hearts and come before God even now in a word of prayer. And every believer fully aware in your own heart of our need of God. And then let's really pray together and seek the Lord. Let us all unite our hearts together. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we do thank thee tonight for the Son of God who loved the church and gave himself for it. We thank thee for the one that came in the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And O God, we worship thee tonight in the holy trinity of thy sacred persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And ever as we come before thee, we come as the mortal before the immortal. We come as the foolish before the infinitely wise. We come as creatures of time before the God of eternity. We come as those that are sinful before one that is immaculate in holiness. We come as those that are oft times perplexed and concerned about the future before one that knows the end from the beginning. But coming before thee in prayer, we come in and through Jesus Christ and by the merits of his blood. And at this very juncture, O God, we stand into the victory of the cross and we plead the blood of the Lamb and we pray against every power of darkness. And we pray that over this broadcast might come the superintending sovereign power of the Holy Ghost himself. How we thank thee for the witness in the city of Londonderry. How we thank thee for its many years of proclamation of the everlasting gospel of the everlasting God. And we pray for it in these days that you'll bless the Reverend Curran and the session as they seek to take the work forward. We pray that soon there'll be a man of thy choosing in the pulpit in this great city. And O God, we pray that the work will know days of ingathering, not only into the house of God, but into even union with Jesus Christ, when many dear souls will be swept from darkness into light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. Come, Lord, and bless the gospel. Bless the preaching of the word even tonight. Remember the whole congregation in Londonderry and remember them tonight as they watch on. And if there be one there without a Savior, without an anchor for the soul, O God, we pray that even tonight you might be pleased to apply the truth savingly to every heart. Lord, abide with us now. Close every home in with thyself. Take this word. Use it for your glory. O God, we pray tonight that Christ's blessed and holy name will be exalted and God's blessed name will be glorified. For we ask it all in Jesus' blessed in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. The book of Isaiah is a book that is found, of course, as we know, in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, Isaiah himself ministered from the year that King Uzziah died through the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He was a prophet for God in the city of Jerusalem. He ministered also at the time in that city's history when Sennacherib his army threatened to invade Jerusalem. It's actually a story that's recorded in the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings 19, if you want to read it even later on tonight. But that threat, when Sennacherib came against Jerusalem, was a threat that was dealt with and diverted only by divine intervention when the Lord himself stepped in mightily on behalf of his people. And one of the men who had gathered to pray and to counsel at that time was Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah was a great blessing to the nation in which he lived. He was a man of God. He was one who was true to God and preached for God and spoke the truth of God. Isaiah also is a man who is known as an evangelical prophet. An evangelical prophet. His prophecy of Isaiah, there is so much in it of the person and work of our blessed Lord that Isaiah is justly styled the evangelical prophet or the fifth evangelist by some of the ancient commentators. In his prophecy, where we have read from tonight, there are more quotations taken from it and actually found in the four Gospels than from any of the prophetical books. In Isaiah chapter 7, we read about the virgin birth of our Lord 700 years before Christ was actually born. We read these words in Isaiah 7, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9, we also read about the birth of Christ, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But in Isaiah's prophecy, we don't only have the birth of Christ, we have his death. Those words, Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." 700 years before the cross of our Redeemer, we have Isaiah pen these words. "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed." Yes, Isaiah's prophecy, it takes us certainly from the manger to the cross. However, where we have read tonight in chapter 1, we're reading a message that God gave Isaiah for the people of Israel in the day in which Isaiah lived. A people who sadly had turned their backs on God, and God had called for repentance and reformation. He called for it with a promise of mercy if they obey, and a promise of ruin if they didn't obey. That promise is actually seen in verse 19 and 20 of Isaiah 1. Look with me there. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it." But the text that I really want to focus on tonight for most of the message is verse number 18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." Dear unsaved, listen to this message. What a text to consider together tonight. "Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." I want to speak tonight on a message that I have entitled, "A Word from God to Every Sinner." A word from God to every sinner. The first thing I want to show you from the message is this: God's description of sin. God's description of sin. As I have said many times before when preaching, when this book is opened, God is addressing the hearer. And the Lord addresses them in Isaiah's day from this chapter on the subject of their sin. Verse 18, "Though your sin be as scarlet, though they be red as crimson." Now, with those words, scarlet and crimson, God is describing the boldness and the brashness of their sin. Scarlet and crimson, they're colors that stand out. They're bold colors. You can't miss them. And what the Lord was telling Israel was, through the prophet Isaiah, your sins are bold. They're just standing out. The Lord describes the sin, scarlet, crimson, dark color, speaking of the darkness of the sin that was going on. Look at verse number 16, how the Lord describes the sin. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Dear unsaved, we all have to see this in these days in which we live. Here's what God thinks of all sin: evil. Look at that in verse 16. Put away the evil of your doings, cease to do evil. Oh, do you see that? I want you to understand, my sin, your sin, all sin is described here by God as evil. See how God describes man in this chapter. Look at verse number 6 with me. Verse 6 of chapter 1. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And what the Lord is saying there is this. He's speaking of man being spiritually sick, head to toe, toe to the head. God describing the sinner as being one mass of corruption from our minds to how we think. That's what he means when he says in verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, the complete person, a mass of corruption from our minds, how we think, our tongues, how we speak, our desire speaks of the heart sins, to our hands, what they do, to our feet, where they take us, speaking about our actions. And God says, man is all one mass of corruption. He thinks sinful things. He does think sinful things. He desires sinful things. His feet take him to sin. His hands handle sin. And God says, it's scarlet, it's crimson in my eyes. It's evil. You see, dear people, that's really what's important in the world. It's not really important, in one sense, what you and me think of sin. But nobody ever seems to stop and ask, what does God think of sin? God says it's evil. It's against him. But I want you to notice something else, dear unsaved, about the description of sin. God gives a personal message about it. Look again at verse 18. Though your sins. I want you to understand, God is drawing attention to the fact that the sins belong to the one that committed them. Your sins be as scarlet. And that's what the Lord's saying here. And dear unsaved, you need to grasp this fact. Every last one of your sins, every sinful thought, every sinful motive, every sinful word, every sinful action, God says, your sins. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Christ is telling the sinner tonight, I know all about your sins. Your sins are dark. Your sins are scarlet. Sometimes people say to us when we talk to them about their need of Christ, they say, I want my sin. I don't want to give it up, preacher. Well, you need to understand, my dear friend, unsaved, that God actually tells you, yes, they're your sins. They're against your account. They're your fault. They have been committed. You have a lifetime of them. And what's more, every moment of every day, they're going heavenward. And they're taking you a step nearer to perishing if you die without them forgiven. And friend, understand this. If you die without your sins forgiven, and I pray to God you don't, but if you die without your sins forgiven, your sins will be your sins forever. You and your sin will never part company. if you die without those sins forgiven. Sin is personal. Rebellion, transgression of God's law, rejection of Christ up until this moment in your life, your evil doings as God describes them here. And God says, though your sins, he wants you to understand, dear unsaved, that there's nothing as personal as sin. God says it's yours. You'll not be judged for anybody else's sin. You'll be judged for your own sin. Though your sin. Let me ask you something in light of that. What good has your sin done you in light of eternity? You wanted you answer in your heart before God. What good has it done you? Where's it taken you? It's all against God. And the Lord tells you in the text, it is your sin. But I say to you, by means of trying to get you to think about your sin, what good has it done you? You know and I know the pleasure didn't last. You think of Judas Iscariot. Sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know what plan he had in his mind of what he was going to do with the silver. But I'll tell you this. It didn't do him any good. What good did it do him when he betrayed the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, and today he's a damned, perishing soul, and it's still his sin. And while the world lasts, it'll be his sin, and forevermore it'll be his sin, because there's never going to be a moment in God's everlasting eternity when God will forgive Judas for what he did, because he died unforgiven. And anybody that dies unforgiven remains unforgiven. Also, let me say something else about your sin. When God says they're scarlet and they're crimson and they're evil, he's assuring you that he knows all about them. David in Psalm 51, he put it like this. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Evil in thy sight. In other words, all the sin of any man, of any woman, is all played out in the eyes of God. He watches. He sees this wickedness go up before him. But dear unsaved, that ought to make you tremble, that not only is your sin, God knows you did it. God's description of sin is personal. God's knowledge of it is the description of sin. But let me show you something else, because I want you to notice that not only is there a description of sin here, but God gives a gracious invitation to the sinner. In this invitation, found in verse number 18, we see God's grace. You see, the word grace, it means unmerited favor. It means that what the sinner gets from God, he doesn't deserve it, because none of us deserve anything from the Lord but judgment and wrath. But the gracious message comes from God to Isaiah. And he's telling Isaiah, tell those people, wash, put away that sin, put it away from before mine eyes. And then he says, come now. Here's the gracious invitation. Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Unsaved friend, see the grace of God in it. The offended party offering the offender terms of mercy, terms of pardon. It's God saying to the sinner, come now. It's like the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned from that high and holy estate in which he was created. And instead of Adam searching for God and trying to find the one that he had lost, we find the Lord coming into the garden and searching for Adam the sinner. Where art thou? Where art thou? But could it be that as I preach this message, there's somebody listening to this, and you know your sin, and you know all about what you've done, and you know it's wrong. You wouldn't even argue that. But right now, you're beginning to feel in your heart terrible conviction, trouble of soul about it. Oh, my friend, the gracious invitation's coming. Come now. Let's reason together. Some of you maybe know God has been speaking to you in recent times, giving yourselves or giving you a gracious invitation to come for mercy, to come for pardon, but you've never come. You need to ask yourself tonight, what am I going to do with this gracious invitation? It's a gracious invitation, but notice something else about it. It's an urgent invitation. Because look at verse 18 again. Come now. Want you to note that? It's very important. Come now. Let's reason together. There's no guarantee here of another invitation. There's no guarantee of another day. You know that. I know it. Life's brief. Life is like a vapor. As James says, it appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Time, as the old paraphrase tells us, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. I say to you, unsaved friend, listen to this. Come now. It's a gracious invitation. But come now. It's an urgent invitation. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let me say something. There is not a preacher on God's earth that has the right or the authority to tell a sinner, go home and think about this for a few days. Because you might not have a few days. You might not even see the end of this broadcast. And therefore, unsaved, the invitation is gracious, but it's urgent. Come now, even before the meeting ends. Come to Christ. Right where you sit. Wherever you're watching this broadcast. God is telling you it's gracious. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But it's urgent. Because you may be in the last moments of your life. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Because this message, 2,700 years ago, is going out to the same people it went out to then. It's going out to a dying people. It's going out to a people that had no guarantee of another day. And therefore, the invitation, it was gracious, but it was urgent because it was given to a people who were a heartbeat from eternity. Now, dear unsaved in Londonderry, think about that. You are moments, minutes, hours, weeks, months, years, whatever time frame it is. Some will have moments in the world tonight left. Some will have hours left in the world tonight. Some will have days left. Some will have weeks left. Some will have years left. But the clock is ticking for us all. And you and me don't know what category we fit in. In the will of the Lord, I'll finish this broadcast. If it's not the will of the Lord, I'll not. And therefore, the invitation is gracious. We don't deserve it. But the invitation is urgent. Come now. Let me say something else. God also gives a declaration here of forgiveness. Because look at verse number 18. Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. The question maybe prompts in your mind, how can God, who is perfectly holy, grant pardon and forgiveness to sinners such as we? Because, dear people, that's the gospel. The gospel, as I have said before many times, is not what you and me do for God, but it's what God and Jesus Christ did for sinners. When our blessed Redeemer came into this world in the incarnation, he came with the purpose to fulfill the will of the Father and to save that people that the Father had given him from before the foundation of the world, and to save them from their sins, and to save them from sins that were scarlet and that were crimson, and that is described here as evil. Christ came to save the sinner. And when he came to obey the law, to give to God's law the obedience that you and I have not given. Understand, dear people, when you read the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you are reading the historical account of the one who always pleased the Father. Every word he said, every work he did, everything that he did, our blessed Lord, it pleased the Father. But he pleased the Father for sinners. He pleased the Father for sinners like you and me. And then that journey of our Lord from the manger, that journey was always going to climax at the cross, because sin that is scarlet and sin that is crimson, it has to be dealt with. And there's the gospel. God didn't leave this world to perish in sin. He sent his Son to live for sinners. He sent his Son to die for sinners. Isaiah 1, the subject of sin, needing to be forgiven, needing to be pardoned. You go over 52 chapters from Isaiah 1, and you come to Isaiah 53. Words that were written 700 years, as I said earlier, before the cross of our Redeemer. And there, my dear friend, my crimson scarlet sins were laid on Christ, and he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. My sins on that cross became Christ's by imputation. My hell, the hell that I deserved, was poured on Christ. And on that cross, Christ's blood was shed. A fountain opened. A fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And therefore, as verse 16 tells us of Isaiah 1, we can wash and be clean. Oh, thank God for the blood of Christ. The doctrine of the blood of our Redeemer. We teach our children the children's hymn, don't we? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Plunge right in, lose your sin. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Sinner, it's time to be pardoned. It's time to be forgiven. It's time to be washed in that atoning blood, in that cleansing blood, in that God-satisfying blood that flowed at Calvary. But you must obey the invitation. Come now. Wash and be clean. Have those sins. Maybe I speak to one. And you say, preacher, my sin haunts me. There's things I have done and there's things I have said, and I wish I had never said them. And I wish I had never done them. And from the moment I've done them, they have haunted me. Here's the remedy. Wash and be clean. Come now, the Lord says. It's gracious. It's urgent. The blood has been shed. Divine justice has been satisfied by the death of our Redeemer. Divine wrath has been propitiated toward everyone that will trust in Christ. But you must come to him. hears the message from God to every sinner, come now. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Will you come? Will you obey the invitation to put away the evil of your doings? That's repentance. And come and wash and be clean. And though your sins that are scarlet and crimson, then they haunt you, and you regret them, and you wish they had never been done. Here's the thing, they were done, and mine were done too. And they shouldn't have been for any of us. But there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Zechariah was another Old Testament prophet. And he spoke about the day that our Redeemer would die. You know what he said? In that day, there shall be no ifs, no buts, no maybes. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. You say, preacher, what was the fountain? A fountain of blood. Peter called it precious blood. John called it cleansing blood. But Jesus said, this is my blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Come now. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Will you come? You say, preacher, I've thought about this so often. I couldn't keep it. You're kept by the power of God. You say, I've thought of this so often, but it would feel the Lord, we all do, and the blood keeps cleansing. You say, preacher, you don't know my sin. I don't. But I know my own, and I know where cleansing is. There's pardon, my friend, there's forgiveness. Young person, young or old, wherever you're watching this broadcast from, God has a message for the sinner tonight. Come now. It's gracious, but it's urgent. And though those sins are scarlet and crimson, they shall be white as snow. And my friend, if you come to Christ tonight, you will hear those words to your soul. Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. What a message. What a gospel. What a God. What a Savior. Will you come to Him? Because to not come is to continue unforgiven, and to continue unforgiven and never come is to die unforgiven and go to hell. Will you come to Christ even now? Come to Him. Come now. And when death casts its shadow on your brow, you'll be able to face it, knowing all you need to know. That your sins are all forgiven. that Christ is your Savior. Christ is your Lord. And you're about to enter heaven. Come to Christ. Be saved tonight. Put away the evil of your doing from before the eyes of God. And come and be saved. Come and be washed. Come and be pardoned. And may God write his word on every heart. And may God write his word on every soul. If we can help you, we'd love to hear from you. But above all, get to Christ. Take the prayer of the publican in the temple long ago and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And may God give you grace to do it. And may God give you grace to come to Christ. Father in heaven, the closing moments of this broadcast, take the word, apply it by the Holy Spirit, and bind the devil in these moments as he would seek to keep sinners from coming to Christ. But, O God, tonight as this broadcast goes out, save, we pray, let the blood of the Lamb prevail. We stand into the victory of the cross on behalf of lost souls. O God, save tonight. Apply redemption by the Holy Ghost and answer prayer this night. And we will be careful to give to thee the praise, the honour, and all of the glory. And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with all of the Lord's people tonight and forevermore. Amen. Amen.